So I'm going to ask you a question. It might seem like an odd question with perhaps an obvious answer, but I'm going to ask it nonetheless. What is a church? What is a church? I'm going to put three pictures on the screen, three potential answers. There's one. There's another. And there's a third. Which do you reckon is the right answer? We've got the people, the family. Not the organisation chart. I saw this cartoon recently in the Church Times. It says at the top where the church is. And it's got little arrows everywhere saying here, and here, and here. In the street, in a car, walking the dog. I think that's a dog, or is it a trolley? Someone on a park bench. Can't really see from the back. You get the idea. And most of the time, when you hear me use the word church, you may well have noticed that it's usually followed by the word family. I almost always, when I'm talking about the church, say church family. So perhaps that's what the church is. Of course, it's a bit of a trick, because actually the church is all three of those things. It is all three. It is an organisation. For example, the Church of England. For example, St. Editha's Amington Church. We're about to have our annual meeting in an hour or so. Organisations have annual meetings. Families don't. Do you have an AGM in your family? I hope not. The church is also a building. We're sitting in one. St. Editha's Church, the Green Amington, B77, 4AD. And to many people outside the church family, this is probably the main meaning of the word church. And the church has to be looked after, has to be lit, has to be heated. Not very well today because the heating's broken. It has to be repaired because the heating's broken. It has to be insured. It has to be cleaned. It has a lot of needs. And finally, of course, the church is a family. We are the church, a gathered family. A gathering, that's where the word originally comes from. We are the people who gather together in the name of Jesus. And thankfully, we're a little more diverse than the piece of clip art I put on there. It's very hard to find good clip art. And there have been big changes in all three of those things recently, in recent years. Big changes. We're going to talk about the organisation a little later. In terms of the building, what changes have you seen in the last 3 years? Lights, the kitchenette, and soon a refurbished toilet, hopefully in the next 2 months. Big changes. And we've seen big changes in terms of the church family as well. Have a look at this graph. It's quite hard to see. That is a graph of church attendance since 2013. And what you can see is the blue dots, they're adults, the orange dots are children. And there was a low point here in June 2016. And you can see the graph goes up and up and up and up and up and up. That is Easter Sunday there. We haven't had fewer than 40 adults on a Sunday since the 11th of February last year. The 10:30 graph is even better. Again, it's quite small, but if you see it close up, you'd be able to tell that the 10:30 service has grown by more than 50% since June 2016. And the number of children has grown as well, not just the adults, by 1.4. I don't know whose is the 4.4. You're the 0.4, John's the 0.4. We now have 1.4 more children on average Sunday than we did 3 years ago. We can't rest on our laurels, though. This is fantastic news. The Church of England as a whole is declining. So church attendance isn't everything, but it's a good measure of how healthy a church is. We can't rest on our laurels. This here is a zoomed-in part of Amington. It's the main sort of bit of Amington. I've cut off all the fields and the little wiggly bit where the industrial estate is. And all those lovely church directory forms that you filled in for us, giving us your address, I've plotted them on that map. Now, the pins aren't quite where they're supposed to be. The computer did it, not me, and I couldn't be bothered to fix all 50 of them. So, that's a reasonable spread, but you'll notice there are two gaps over there and over here. That one is all the streets of Sheepcote Lane, and that is the area around the Carrier. So although we're spread reasonably well, we still have work to do. We need to find ways of reaching out and connecting with people across the whole of the parish. Apologies if you don't live in Amington Parish. I wanted to zoom in as close as possible. So some of you, your pins are not on that map. We'd have to be quite far out to get everyone on. Hopefully the place of welcome, which Mandy's going to talk to us about later, will help with some of that. Now the manager of a garden centre heard one of her staff talking to a customer. "No, we haven't had any of that in ages," said the staff member, "and I don't know when we'll be getting any more." And so the customer left. The manager walked over to tell the member of staff off. "Never tell a customer that we can't get them something," she said. "Whatever they want, we can always get it. We can order it in and have it delivered to them. Do you understand?" The staff member nodded. "Anyway, what did he want?" said the manager. "Rain." I'd like to read you one of Jesus' parables. This is from the Message version of the Bible. Jesus left the house and sat on the beach. In no time at all, a crowd gathered along the shoreline, forcing him to get into a boat. Using the boat as a pulpit, he addressed his congregation telling stories. "What do you make of this?" he said. "A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road and birds ate it. Some fell on the gravel. It sprouted quickly but didn't put down roots, so when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell on the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled by those weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams." Are you listening to this? Are you really listening? The farmer is really bad at sowing seed, isn't he? Can you imagine buying several packets of seed from a garden centre and then going home and throwing half of it on the path, a third of it on some rocky gravel, and then most of the rest where there are a load of weeds? Would you do that? Some of you might. No, of course you wouldn't do that. It'd be ridiculous. What you do first is you plant the seeds normally carefully in ground that you have painstakingly prepared. I know some of you have allotments. Back-breaking work, isn't it?
Yes.
Digging over, Bruce says. Because you've got to dig over the soil, you've got to pull out the weeds, you've got to make sure that the conditions are right for the seeds to grow. In the parable that Jesus told, that story, we are the soil. And the seed is the word of God, the message of truth, the message about the kingdom. And Jesus told the parable mainly to explain why different people respond in different ways to the same message. And I don't know about you, but I desperately want myself and all of us together to be like that good soil, that good earth. That when the seed was planted in it, it grew and it produced an incredible harvest. This is my prayer, my vision for us as a family, that we would be good soil. Important thing here, we don't produce the harvest. We don't produce the harvest. God does that. It's actually easy to grow a church. It is. You can do all sorts of fancy stuff. It's as easy as it is for plants to grow in shallow, warm, moist soil. But you don't get lasting growth. What's much harder is preparing soil properly, painstakingly removing the weeds, turning it over, adding topsoil, maybe some fertilizer, shaking loose the clods of earth. We've got quite clayey soil here, haven't we? Well, at least the vicarage garden does. You put your fork in and it comes up with a massive clod of clay. It takes an awfully long time to crumble that down so that stuff can grow. It is a right pain. Friends, that is how you get conditions for growth in a garden. And it's also how you get conditions for growth in a church, in discipleship terms. It is what we must do as a church family. All that hard work, digging, pulling out the weeds, putting in the fertilizer. We need to make sure our soil is good, so that when we hear the word of God, when we hear the message and respond, we are ready. We need to identify the weeds. They might be bad or negative habits or attitudes or mindsets, ways of thinking, that threaten to take over and push out the good growth. You don't want a garden full of weeds. If you've seen the end of the vicarage garden recently, you'll notice that they're trees now, the weeds. That's where potentially the new vicarage is going to be built, which is why we've just left it. But there were trees there, and they're nearly trees again in 3 years, 2 years. Because the weeds grow so fast, we need to pay attention to them, so that God can transform us to be more like Jesus. Jack decided that he wanted to start farming chickens. Anyone farm any chickens ever in your life? One or two of you? So he went to the chicken farmer. He wanted a big farm, so he bought 1,000 little chicks. Oh, aren't they cute? The next month, Jack went back to the chicken farmer and he bought 500 more chicks. The following month, he went to the chicken farmer again and bought another 500 chicks. Chicken farmer said, "Wow, your chicken farm must be going brilliantly." Jack looked glum. "Sadly, no," he said. "I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Either I'm planting them too deep, or upside down, or too close together." Today, we are starting a series called The Life You've Always Wanted. A little poster over here, there's one on the door as you came in. The Life You've Always Wanted. It's inspired by a book by that name, by a chap called John Ortberg. If you fancy buying that book, I recommend it. Be good to sort of keep up as we go through over the next few weeks. And the aim is to help us all do and learn how to do a bit of gardening. But not gardening outside, gardening in our lives, in our church family. A bit of weeding, a bit of digging, maybe a bit of planting, and hopefully to be more healthy and therefore to grow. So that with God's help, we can live the life we've always wanted. Does that sound good? Yeah? Seems appropriate to do that just after Easter as we celebrate Jesus' risen life that he gives to us. Well, how do we live it? We're going to spend the next 3 months thinking about that, leading up to the summer. Now imagine this. You receive a call from this chap. Anyone recognise him?
Yeah.
Sir Mo Farah. He's rather busy today. He's been busy preparing for the London Marathon, but this is a story, it's not true. Something has gone wrong. No, and he can't take up his place. And he's scoured the phone book and he reckons that you are the person to take his place. Yeah? I can see from your faces how you would react to such a phone call. Your name was top of the list. What an honour! How totally horrific. I can barely run a quarter of a mile, let alone 26.2 of them. I could try my very best. I could wear all the right gear. Couldn't I wear the right gear, get the Vaseline and all the stuff you need to stop the chafing? I could turn up on time. It'd be hard pushed to get there on time now because it's about to start, I think, isn't it, the marathon? Or is it already underway? It's already started. I could have the right shoes. I could even do the Mobot. I could try my hardest, but would I succeed? No. Why would I not succeed? Because trying only gets you so far. Mo Farah has been running and training for almost his entire life. Believe it or not, I haven't. And that is how he is able to compete at an elite level. He and the other top athletes are pushing 2 hours to run a marathon. It's insane. Can't drive through Tamworth at that speed. I could try, but I would fail. Think about it another way, maybe, if that example doesn't work for you. Here's a guitar. Imagine the band is all set up on a normal Sunday, but Mark has phoned me to say he's not very well and he can't play. Who can't play the guitar? And I come up to you with Mark's guitar and I say, "Here you go, Cal." You could try as much as you'd like. It wouldn't go very well, would it? Some of you probably wouldn't even know how to hold a guitar, let alone play it. Why would you fail? Because playing a musical instrument requires a significant amount of training. I've been playing the piano since I was 5. How about this one? You are sent to the deepest, most remote part of China. It's the Great Wall of China there, in case you didn't realise. And you are expected to explain to the locals in Mandarin who Jesus is. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you can't do it. Why? Because learning a language takes a significant amount of training. What am I waffling on about? Friends, the life you've always wanted is Jesus' life. I don't care who you are, what you've done, it's true. The life you want, whatever you want in life, the life you want is in Jesus. Our life starts with him. He was the one who was raised from the dead on the first Easter Sunday, and he offers that risen life to all who put their trust in him. That's where we start from. But his life is more than that. It's our example. It's our model to show us what living the life we were made to live looks like. And friends, becoming more like Jesus is not something you can do by trying hard. You need training. Just like running a marathon, just like playing a musical instrument, and just like speaking a foreign language. It's not something you can do by trying hard. You need to train. And that's what the next few weeks are all about. It's about training, not trying. And hopefully we will learn. And as we train, get better. The life you've always wanted. That's my prayer for the next few weeks, that as we go through that, we will start to work through an answer to the question. We'll start to learn what it means to make sure we are the good earth in Jesus' parable, ready to receive the seed and to grow.